and it's time for Wellness Wednesday, and we're joined in studio by three guests. Liam O'Donnell, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. Monica Greer, instructor at Letterkenny Community Centre. Good morning, Monica. Good morning to you. And also, we have with us Liam, Monica, and who else do we have with us here? My notes have gone to Sonia, beg your pardon, Sonia Murray, advanced nurse practitioner. Right, okay, we're talking about the Better Lung Classes Rehab Group, which is celebrating, I suppose, in one form or other, a sort of a 10-year anniversary.
It is, Greg. Thank you for having us on this morning. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of a rundown how it all started. So about 10 years ago, we had the good fortune of meeting Monica at the community centre. So myself and my colleague, Krista Hegarty, a senior respiratory physiotherapist, we were running the pulmonary rehab programmes there. And that is an 8-week HSE run. It's an evidence-based pulmonary rehab programme for people with chronic respiratory conditions such as COPD and the symptoms that they might have, which would be shortness of breath. So this programme is run, as I said, by the HSE. And then following on from that, when they finish the programme, when they graduate from that, they need to continue with their exercise in order to keep well. So the benefits of the pulmonary rehab programme are that you would reduce symptoms, you would improve exercise tolerance so people are able to do more, and they have a better quality of life.
And also spend as little time as possible, you know, needing healthcare.
Absolutely. And evidence is there. It is research to show that patients who go through a pulmonary rehab programme, they need less hospitalisation. They're able to manage their symptoms much better, so they can manage and they have a better quality of life. So in order for them to be facilitated to continue with the programme, they can do their programme at home. But a lot of people like that group setting, really enjoyed getting together, meeting other people, and that peer support that they were getting as well. So they were able to then go on to a maintenance programme. So in Letterkenny, 10 years ago, there wasn't a maintenance programme. And as I said, we did have the good fortune to meet Monica and Liam. And from there it grew. So and as it's now celebrating its 10 years this weekend.
So Liam O'Donnell, manager, it's like all good things. You know, obviously you've the initial benefits, but then there's other benefits that come around from attending these types of classes and what have you.
Yeah, that's correct, Greg. Suppose going back to 2014 when group got together initially to roll out the programme at the community centre. It was a first for us. And we saw, you know, straight away that this is something that really blends into the environment at the community centre. So in conjunction with the HSA and Sonia and Krista, we all got together and rolled it out from there. And like it's countywide and people come in there 2 days a week and do their class. And as we said before, it helps that people do not relapse and they keep their exercise going, you know, on a weekly basis, which is very, very important. Mm. And the other thing that's so important is the social integration, that they're meeting people there every week. You get a cup of tea and the interaction is great and the banter and the crack among the people, and it keeps people, you know, upbeat. For some, it's that's the highlight of the week, them 2 hours that they spend down there. And the support, especially from Sonia and Krista and Monica, who runs out the programme twice a week there, it's been fantastic, really.
So we're talking about Better Lung Classes, during which there's pulmonary rehab, is that correct?
So the pulmonary rehab programme starts first. So people are referred in by their GP or consultant in the hospital. They're referred for this programme. It's a prescribed programme of exercise and education. And then following on from that, this is the follow-on. So yes, this is for them too.
Excellent. Just want to be clear, because there are going to be quite a lot of layers. Monica Greer, as I mentioned, is instructor at Letterkenny Community Centre. Talk to me about your involvement in this programme.
I think most of them just come for tea. Definitely. It's brilliant. It's brilliant to see people that have been coming for the whole 10 years. And they're really, really dedicated to turning up. If they're not coming, they tell me they have to sign a holiday form before they leave. But it's great if you don't see them that you check up on them. And the if you don't see them, we would phone the girls up at rehab then to chase up. So it's great to have a partnership.
And the critical important thing, isn't it, is encouraging people to keep coming. You want people to keep coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Liam, you have to do that in different ways, don't you? Obviously, there's carrots and stick. But the if people are enjoying it, whether they're coming for the tea or coming from the exercise, it doesn't or the social element of it, as long as people keep coming.
Yeah, well, you know, at the initial stage, it's a little bit daunting for people coming into a centre and they're meeting a whole new group of people. But after a couple of sessions there, they really integrate into it and you know, they relax and they enjoy it. And it's a social gathering, really.
Mm.
And the follow-on from that was then that others then started to, you know, inquire about the same sort of exercise. So we developed an exercise and socialise programme for another group. And they use the centre there twice a week too, on a Tuesday and a Thursday. So really, you know, from that, the thing has grown.
And that's fantastic for those, Sonia, who are engaging with the service, right? But I would say, I don't know what the percentage of people that go, that's not for me, you know, I don't want to go down that route. It's getting the message across, I suppose, how important it is to try and limit the progression of their condition, but also to improve quality of life. Because I suppose if you're having difficulty breathing, maybe you're not moving as much, then, you know, your general health is going to suffer as well. It's really important if people want to, and everyone has their choice, but to get involved in programmes like this, I presume.
Yeah, and it's I know we're here today to speak about the Letterkenny programme, but there is programmes, so there's pulmonary rehab running throughout the county. So they're in all the community health networks, so in South Donegal, East, Inishowen, and of course Letterkenny. And then following on from that, there is maintenance programmes, not just quite celebrating their 10 years like Letterkenny. We have the other areas are a little bit behind on that, but there is now maintenance programmes in Inishowen. They're in Donegal Town, they're in Dunlow, and they're also, we have a hybrid model of pulmonary rehab in Arnmore Island as well.
Yeah, and there's an afternoon tea party on Friday the 1st. Who wants to talk to me about that? What's happening on Friday the 1st?
Oh, we're having a party, surely. Any excuse for cake? We have a party every year on the 1st of November, only around the 1st of November. But this year, we've just decided to push the boat out and have a bit of a laugh, you know, and celebrate, you know, the fact that the classes have been going and the people have been coming for the last 10 years. So, really good.
And also, it's an opportunity, I presume, to remember members that have passed on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we would have had a few, you know, that are very well remembered during the classes, especially when you come to certain exercise stations that they may or may not have done the exercise properly. And then somebody would always say, oh, do you remember such and such or what? It's actually very funny.
Yeah.
It's very funny and it's a great way to remember the people as well, you know, for sure. And the stories, especially because the stories are amazing.
So the HSE will be there as well. Is that to other people will be there? Is that for current attendees or can people who want to attend come along? You know, people that aren't already. Maybe you could answer that one for me, Liam. So is Friday about people that are already involved in the programme or is it sort of open to those who might go, maybe this is for me?
Yeah, well, it's an open, it's not restricted. It's really the people that are using the centre on a weekly basis will be there, but it's open to anyone who would like to come in and celebrate the 10 years with us because it's a milestone, really, you know.
And do you see people's health improve, you know, breaking that cycle of hospital attendance, because that's the proof of the pudding, isn't it?
Yeah, breaking the cycle and being consistent, it keeps the people that are coming in there, you know, keeping them well. That's the key.
And also it's adaptive for people's range of mobility as well, or ability, presumably. It's adaptive to, because we're all different, aren't we?
Yeah, we're all different. They're all different levels there. Some do what they can do within reason. Others can do a little bit more. So, you know, everybody gets a benefit.
And of course, too, Sonia, there are those that there are age brackets where, you know, more people are going to be affected by COPD, etc. But it's not exclusively older people, I presume.
No, it's not. We've had people, I suppose, maybe in their 30s, right up to really late 80s. It's all individualised. So it's really up to what people are capable of doing. And really, people aren't asked to do anything more than their ability. But obviously, during the pulmonary rehab, the initial programme, things are moving on because the physio is encouraging and can see that people can improve. So it's very much, but the improvement doesn't stop at that 8 weeks. The improvement continues with the maintenance programme. So the benefits are ongoing.
I mentioned COPD, but there's also asthma, heart condition, and whatever. Presumably it's even broader than that. If people are listening and saying, right, that's what I need. Now, there's a lot to mention because you mentioned it's not just in Letterkenny, right? But are you referred through your GP, the hospital, self-referral? How do people interested in these services get access?
Yeah, so for pulmonary rehab, it's referral from the GP. So it's if anyone's listening and they do have symptoms, they have a chronic lung condition, so it's not exclusive COPD, and it could be chronic asthma that they're symptomatic and it's affecting their day-to-day life, or interstitial lung diseases. So any
and
of those conditions.
Pulmonary rehab is centred in St. Connell's.
It was, and
I
now
can't keep
it,
up.
Yeah,
it, right. That was 10 years ago.
10
it's
years
moved
ago
out
it
then.
Was.
Sorry, of course it has. Yeah.
So we're now the whole team are now based at the Chronic Disease Management Hub in Letterkenny.
Okay.
And then from that we have our that's kind of the hub, and then we have our spokes, which is in primary care centres throughout Donegal. So there's in all the networks. So it's run by a clinical nurse specialist and a senior respiratory physiotherapist. And as I said, that eight week programme is you get referred in by your GP.
Okay. I'm sure, Monica, you're encouraging people when they are perhaps signposted to your services to go along. People enjoy it? Yep.
Yeah.
You can answer that.
Yeah, I'll just answer that question. Yeah, people really enjoy it and see the benefits, and the social aspect of it is so important to them. Like it gives people, you know, confidence. It gives them encouragement. And it's really, really outstanding how the progression that happens within the group.
Okay, Liam, thank you for coming in.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate
Greg.
It. Anything any of you want to add, actually, just before we wrap up? Are you happy we've covered everything?
I would just say it is definitely a programme that people should speak to their GP about. And I would only just commend Liam and Monica for the good work that they've done in the community centre. It is a really fantastic work, and Monica received a recognition for her work this year in an award. Yes, so she got Liam.
Yeah, she got a community recognition award there earlier in the year, and yourselves were down there. I think it was part of the Highland Radio programme, and she was one of the recipients.
Fantastic. Congratulations. Yeah. Too modest. Much. Okay, I was going to say too modest. Monica Greer, thank you for coming in. I do appreciate it. Liam O'Donnell, lovely to see you.
Thank you.
And Sonia Murray, Advanced Nurse Practitioner, Respiratory Integration Service. Thank you so much as well.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more after these. A caller says, just listening to the driving issues, and firstly, I sympathise with that lady and anyone else who's lost anyone in a road traffic collision. I think it all starts with harsher punishments. Every time we see someone up in court, it's 20 plus driving convictions, etc. They need jail, but they're full, so they get out. It's pretty much, we know we're going to get a slap on the wrist. They have no regard for anyone because they think they're invincible. And another issue, well, just in relation to that, you see, that the premise of that is that it's a small amount of people that might be causing serious collisions. But the reality is, and the statistics show us, that it's not really. It's pretty much all of us are either distracted while driving, either aren't wearing a seatbelt, our tyres haven't been checked, we don't have our proper lights on, we're drinking, we're taking drugs. It is not a small cohort, and I think that's that might, if we were to believe that is the case, be taking our eye off the ball. But anyway, the caller goes on to say, another issue I personally have is the size of vehicles and the power that people are driving without any extra driving tests or theory. But if you're a bus driver or a lorry driver, you have so many courses, even digger drivers have more. But you can drive a 3-litre big Jeep here just on your ordinary licence. Doesn't make sense. And if I'm being totally honest, a lot of people are unable to drive them. Tougher punishments and extra courses and driving tests once you pass a car might help. And I appreciate your suggestions, by the way. Thanks for sending them in. Hi, just to say, I think cars should have speeds reduced. It should be built in only to go, say, 100 kilometres per hour. Why are they clocked so much faster as we have speed limits? Well, you see, it's like everything in life. There's going to be lobby groups that are opposed to it. Drivers Association, car manufacturers who sell their vehicles based on 0 to 60s and top speeds. Unfortunately, they often trump road safety. What about indicating? I said that drivers don't even indicate anymore. Very few do, indeed. And roundabouts are some of the greatest things in the world, but they only truly work properly if people use the right lanes and if they indicate. In relation to road safety, I've always thought that any person under 25 shouldn't be allowed to drive any vehicle over 1 litre. This would really cut down on collisions on our roads. Yeah. Good morning, Greg. Can you please highlight to drivers to exercise caution around school children crossing the roads to get the school buses? Also, children should be wearing some form of high-vis clothing. Concerned bus driver, operator, I very much appreciate if you could highlight this issue. Of course we will. We have to be careful. But also, maybe when, and this does happen, parents tend to park their cars on the wrong side of the road or indeed the right side of the road with the headlights glaring. Right, the LEDs glaring, and as you're approaching, you can't barely see the bus, let alone the children. So at least if you're sitting waiting for your kids to be picked up by a bus, could you put the lights down a little bit? Just put them on the park lights so that drivers can actually see what's going on. Because on some of these wet mornings, you're sitting there, headlights almost full on, even the low lights on. It's piddling rain, there's buses, there's children, there's cars coming in the other direction, and you're sitting there with your headlights on. Doesn't help either. But I take on board what you're saying, bus driver. Perhaps we should look at America and start some kind of driving lessons at school. Yeah, indeed. But there are, unfortunately, what happens is in a country this size is that very few people become the voice of motoring and motorists. And there is one who thinks that's actually not the way forward. And their view seems to be constantly on RTE, News Talk and newspapers and what have you, constantly saying it's not necessarily about teaching young people how to drive, which I find really quite frustrating. In relation to corporal punishments in schools, how cruel the teachers were. They were releasing their frustrations from their superiors and their home life on children, says a listener. Greg, what our teacher did to almost all students, if it were today, he'd be in jail for 10 years. That's coming in from Mary. Another caller says the reason they did it, the only reason they did it from their perspective, is they were sadistic bees on power trips. I've slightly edited that one, but I think you can fill in the blank there. Let me see. In the Northwest, there was a principal in the 80s from the clergy. He punched a student in the face with a closed fist. Another schoolmaster had a steel-tipped ruler, and he would hit until he drew blood. Some of these people are still alive. It's funny how it comes back to you, because I never experienced it much, but there was one school outside of this area that I'd attend for a short while, and I do remember having my hands on the table and getting a whack with rulers. Not very pleasant at all. And that was only minor compared to some of the stories we are listening to today. But this caller says they knew what they did and feel that they were above the law. These days, children speak out. Parents and Gardaí don't speak out. Back in the day, as teachers had more power. I think there was a respect at that time, for right or for wrong, of the clergy, of the Gardaí, of people in schools, teachers and other sectors. And there does seem to be quite a bit of exploitation of that power and influence. And unfortunately, it seems to have been directed at the most vulnerable children. But anyway, this caller says these days children are given the silent treatment and are ignored, which is another form of punishment. Quite right. Greg, you might read it, you might not. I left a boys' school in 1984. 2 years before that, the stick was in the class. Horrible times. I often was made to stand up at the back at the blackboard trying to do a sum I didn't know. You will have teachers listening to the radio this morning who watched this going on, as they are all retired now. They'd be spending their days going to Mass in the morning, praying for forgiveness and keeping quiet. This was a common thing. So that's just in 1984. So we're not talking, you know, we're not talking a million years ago, but being whacked with a stick and being made to stand up in class and humiliate yourself in front of your peers and then get a hiding for it. You know, I don't know, maybe you were. Were you a teacher of that time? You know, we'll treat everyone with confidentiality. Were you a teacher at that time? Was it the norm? Did you turn a blind eye? Were you opposed to it? Were you told that it's what you must do? Hi, Greg. I just checked the betting on the US election. Trump is clear favourites. As they say, the bookies don't get it wrong too many times. Well, it could be a fool and their money easy parted too, because the odds are driven by the amount of money people are putting on. So if a lot of people put money on Donald Trump, his odds tighten because the bookies don't want to get burnt. If a lot of people put money on Kamala Harris, the same applies. So I don't think that's a great indication. But as you say, and you're right, the bookies are not often wrong. You don't see too many of them poor. Right, it's time for this now.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
So it is the hump of the week. We welcome into the studio Chris Ashmore. Chris, thanks so much for joining us again.
You're welcome, Greg.
Good to have you on board. Right, okay, let's get to some news first. Tata Consultancy Services, they've got a very important contract secured.
Yeah, now we flagged this a week or so ago, but the I's have been dotted and the T's crossed. It's a 15-year contract with the Department of Social Protection to look after. We've also spoken about it, the new auto-enrollment retirement savings scheme, which is called My Future Fund. So essentially, here in Letterkenny, this is good from an employment perspective as well. Tata have got the contract to look after this pension plan being implemented by the state, 800,000 workers. So it's going to be a big project. And what will happen is that people will be able to go online, and these are people in the private sector who will now be having this automatic pension, and they'll be able to see just how their pension is doing and everything that's associated with that. So, and it's good for the long term here. For Tata shows the commitment, and this is a big contract. And, you know, Tata Consultancy Services, it's a huge, huge company all over the world. And even in Ireland and the UK, they work with the likes of Aer Lingus, Aviva, Bank of Ireland, British Airways, Primark, Sainsbury's, the list goes on.
On and on, indeed. Right, a lot of the conversation over recent years has been about banks exiting the Irish market, the closure potentially of bank branches. There's no doubt that the banking network isn't what it once was, but at least one bank seems to be investing in its infrastructure for the future.
Yes, AIB has announced in the past week that it's investing 40 million euro, which is not insubstantial, in upgrades to its branch network across the country, and 8 refurbishments in County Donegal. So good to see the investment. Letterkenny, Buncrana, Carndonagh and Killybegs branches will get a full refurbishment. Balbuffet, Ballyshannon, Donegal Town and Dunloe will have interior and exterior improvements made, not quite the same. But what's happening here is they're creating more spaces. They want to enhance the customer experience.
I think the devil in the detail might be here. I think they perhaps want to enhance the customer's efforts. I just wonder, is this more about self-service or...
It's all to make it more friendly.
I mean, you go
friendly.
Into a bank now and a member of staff stands in the bank and points you towards a machine to go and do it yourself.
Yeah.
Now, that's obviously transitional. I don't know what AIB's motives are or what their plans are, but I imagine... this is not necessarily about hiring 1,000 new staff. Anyway, be that as it may.
And just to point out that they are ticking a few very important boxes. There's going to be more autism-friendly machines and the staff will be trained. And an upgrade to the ATMs, Greg, for visually impaired customers. Now, I'm not 100% sure what that means. Maybe it's a bigger screen with bigger writing, but... I know myself going to the ATM, if I don't have my glasses, I'm in bother.
And if there's sunlight, you're often banjaxed again. And this is why I have to temper myself sometimes and be as balanced as I can be with the cash versus card. I can't remember the last time I was at an ATM.
Yeah,
I genuinely can't, but I remember my experience not being necessarily pleasurable. Or in a bank, for that matter.
And there's a whole generation growing up who... probably haven't been in a bank, and you can get a loan on your phone.
Oh, yes. Well, also to most children now, it's in the papers today, it kind of links to this. Most children get pocket money, and the most of those children that get pocket money get it digitally. They get it put on the Revolut or similar card. They're not handed cash or coins. So already the next generation coming through and their experience of money is digital.
Yeah, and if you're actually opening a wallet and taking out the money... rather than just tapping, it's a totally different thing.
I don't agree with you.
Do you not think if you're out and you're tapping, you're not really conscious of what's there, and then you look at a few days later and you see what you spent, whereas if you're having to fork it out each time...
But I don't buy that argument, because what happens is I think if you're that kind of a spender, I think you'll empty your wallet of the 50 quid you might have and go to an ATM without checking your balance and take out another 50. Yeah. I don't really get the, like, because you... I think generationally, maybe you and I, but younger people, you know, how much have you in your Revolut? Like, if I asked one of the boys when they had their, you know, what, how much have you in Revolut? €17.22. They could tell me exactly how much they had. But anyway, it's a conversational point. A couple of Donegal businesses heading abroad.
Yes, a couple of local businesses have been showcasing their products at it's an event called the Milled and Made event. It's in New York. So Isabel Sangha of the Donegal Natural Soap Company and Shannon Carroll of Kevin Larry Art, they have both been over along with a number of other people from Ireland, Scotland and Wales, showcasing what they have in New York. Stephen Perry of the local enterprise office here in Donegal also over. So great exposure, and let's hope they get plenty of orders out of that.
Happy days indeed, opening up markets for them. Brilliant stuff. Leo have an event upcoming.
Yes, always worth pointing this out. It's an online voucher workshop. Now, this is for people who maybe want to develop a website or enhance their digital offering, and you can get a voucher for up to 50% of the costs. So the 6th of November from 10 o'clock, just contact your local enterprise office and you'll find out more about that, and you go through a process to see how to apply for that. And it's been very successful.
Building Body Confidence for Business Visibility.
Yes.
What an interesting title to
have. Yeah, and the subtitle, How to Accept Yourself and Show Up Authentically. Well, that's the name of an event being run by Donegal Women in Business, supported by the local enterprise office. It's on Thursday, November the 21st. And check out the Donegal Women in Business Facebook page for more on that.
All right, free festive marketing magic workshop upcoming as well. What's that about?
Yes, Evelyn McMarketing is having a... it's part of a... she set up these series of meetings online called Let's Meet for a Coffee. She's had over 50 of them now. It all began during COVID. And this one, Evelyn McGlynn will be joined on the 7th of November by Shopify and Meta Ads expert Laura Gallagher to give you tips about Christmas marketing and promotions. So that could be very handy indeed, all online, and a chance to network as well.
Okay.
And, details in the Donegal Women in Business Network page on that one.
All right, that's some of the business news this week by way of also leading us on to talk about Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast. And you've got two guests this week. Who's the first?
Well, the first, speaking with Andy McGowan, based in Newton Cunningham. AMG Leak Detection is his company. He's been in the plumbing business for 20 years, celebrating 20 years, started off as an apprentice, and he has really specialised in the whole area of leak detection. And in this clip, he outlines how he uses the latest technology in the detection of leaks.
Yeah, well, the main items you would have there would be your acoustic sound, and it'd be your ground microphone. So basically, it's like a stethoscope that the doctor would use, only it's an electronic version, a lot bigger. And you would set that in the ground, and you would use that to listen for leaks. So if you have copper pipes in your house and there's a pinhole in it, the leak will actually vibrate the copper and transmit a noise. And you're going along with the ground mic then, trying to pinpoint. If you can get over the top of it where your loudest sound is, the chances are you're in the right area. The other thing you would use there would be thermal imaging for your hot water and your heating leaks. And it's just a small screen, and it just shows up like a red line or an irregular shape. It's great for getting the layout of the pipework within a property, because not always the homeowner knows what way the house was piped up. And then you would do pressure tests, and you would have inspection cameras there, and you would have tracer gas, which is a mixture of hydrogen and nitrogen gas that you can put onto the pipework. And where the gas escapes, you have a detector to go across to get you into the correct room. And then you can use your thermal and your acoustic then to get narrowed down and closer on top of it again.
Interesting, and a great little business. And when I say little, I don't mean in terms of size, of course. You know, 40-odd, 45, 46% of our treated water goes to waste in terms of leakage. Now, of course, some of those, the majority of that's on our water network, but of course within the boundaries of our property, and indeed within the property too, there can be leaks.
Yeah, and Andy can carry out a water audit on a property. So you could be in business and, you know, you're paying for your water and there is a commercial charge there, and you may not even be aware of a leak.
Well, I was told the gaps, I was getting a couple of radiators air locking constantly, and that it probably is a bit of corrosion or a gap in a pipe. Now, I'm not sure if that means it's leaking or it's taking air in, but I think as your house ages, invariably, you know, the piping is going to. But okay, interesting stuff. Be interesting to hear more about that work, actually, because I'm sort of maybe focusing on what's relative to me, but it does much more than that.
One of the points he was making, you know, tips for businesses, you can imagine in a big premises, there could be lots of toilets.
Oh, for sure.
And sometimes, you know, the toilet, it's filling up all the time and the water may not be used in the optimum way. And a couple of little simple checks could save you quite a bit.
We have very small cisterns in the house, which means they empty quick and they fill up quick. Mm. But they're perfectly adequate for getting rid of anything that might need getting rid of.
Good.
You know? No, it's, there's people. Did you not ever put bricks in your cistern or?
No, I haven't done that. No.
A lot of people have bricks in their cisterns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you don't need as much money.
I remember the big old ones years ago with the chain. And,
of course, love that. Yeah, no, I definitely did fill, I think I filled a two litre milk container because I was wasting so much water. Mm. It was simply, the size of the cistern was not required.
So, what about your swimming pool? Have you blocks in that as well?
No, that would be counterintuitive. I don't have a swimming pool and I wouldn't like to fill it with the water pressure either. Anyway, that's an insight into my life. Next up on the show, it is Geraldine Byrne.
Yes, talking about New Frontiers, which is through ATU Letterkenny, also in Sligo, an entrepreneur development program which has been going for a number of years. There's three phases. The next first phase is beginning next week. And in this clip, she's outlining what it's all about.
It's more like a pre-starter own business course. So it's for anyone with a very early stage idea. And it really helps you research and test out the market potential of your business idea. And we have 8 modules over the 4 weeks. And those modules and those sessions will help you evaluate your idea, help you understand your customers' needs, and identify what we call your value proposition, what exactly it is that you're offering to your customers. And indeed, is there a customer for what you think there might be a market for?
Okay, much more from Geraldine and also from Andy on this week's Business Matters podcast. It is available for you to stream or download on our website right now in the listen back section and on all the previous episodes as well. And it's broadcast live on the radio as well, pre-recorded but live, if you know what I mean. On Sunday, Chris? On Sunday, Chris, you're sitting at the wrong mic. It's annoying me, but we're friends. That's mic one. No, too late to move.
That's right, Greg. It's on after the 6 o'clock news on a Sunday. And just incidentally...
Well, it's not incidentally. It's quite important.
Well, it is quite important. Well, tomorrow is 1 year since I did my first Business Matters programme. So sincere thanks to all those who have come on over the past year. And also to Canis Wilson helping out in production and your good self and everybody.
It's not insignificant. There's a lot of content there. I think really... the Business Matters podcast, if you're interested in business, is fresh. It's been running even before your time, Chris. And every week you manage to come up with guests involved in business, big businesses, smaller businesses, massive businesses, individuals that are reaching markets all over the place. And that's all from a relatively small pool. So I think the success of the podcast and also the fact that it remains fresh is actually an indication of A, obviously your work, but B, the depth and breadth and variety of the business community. It's celebrating. I see it as a celebration of our amazing business community here.
Absolutely. And as you've touched on there, be it somebody who's self-employed or a multinational, so much going on. And a lot of really interesting stories. You know, I was just thinking some of the ones that stood out. Barry Dardy down South Donegal using seaweed to make it into a product that can be used as a fertilizer, and there's a lot of benefits from seaweed. And Neil Crossan, Living Green in Inishowen, who has earthworms, and he's making compost. And then, you go through them. Eugene Gallen, the Bon Appetit. There's so many, and great to see, particularly some of the smaller niche market industries out there and firms and doing great work. And listen, we've heard it all before about how important the small businesses are, the backbone of the local economy.
Yeah, interesting. You mentioned compost there, not compost, but fertilizer. And it's kind of interesting. We'll get into it now, but about, veganism. And obviously a lot of the food that vegans eat is, vegetables and fruits. Now, I hope I'm not being wrong in relation to this, but apparently the majority of that food is grown using the likes of shrimp compost and other animal-based compost, which I just wonder if vegans are aware of, that really effectively their diet is not quite as plant-based as they thought they were. I don't know what the story is in this country, and I'm open to correction on it, and I don't want to do any area of business any damage, but a lot of the compost that's used elsewhere, at least, is actually shrimp compost or derivatives of other living things. There you go. Congratulations on a year.
Thank you.
Are you hungry? Is that your belly rattling?
I am hungry. Yeah.
I'm starving as well. I want shrimp compost. The microphone.
Can we get the full Irish before 12?
Oh, don't talk to me about that. I hate it when you get used to going to a place for a full Irish a little later in the day and they knock off the all-day breakfast. It's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Chris. Take care of yourself. All right, it is the 9 till noon show. That was Business Matters. You can listen to the Business Matters podcast right now on our website, or if you prefer to listen to it scheduled for your convenience, it's on after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday. Our next guest on the program now is co-founder of Letterkenny Medics Clinic, Dr. Mohammed El Bray. Good morning to you, Doctor. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you.
Often we would speak to the likes of yourself, Mohammed, based on physical health issues. But you're noticing the fact that you're getting called to many mental health issues. And it's a very important, I think, area of conversation. And you've got your finger on the pulse in Donegal and Letterkenny. So what are you seeing, Mohammed?
As a fact, we have to admit that as a mental health service in Donegal faces significant challenges at this point. It starts from the availability and access. And we have been designated as a mental health shortage in the last report, 2023, as thousands of people have been served only by one provider. As my position in the community as Letterkenny Medics, we've been partner with the Gardaí and for many mental health issues happening in the community. The challenge is increasing with time. 100% the hospital staff in the psychiatric unit doing their best. The hospital manager Sean Murphy doing great. The Gardaí and ambulance, all the team doing their best. However, the issue usually is not starting from the hospital, or we cannot blame the hospital or the service or blaming any other provider. The problem starts from the community, Kode. Mm-hmm. As it starts from the family. We want to increase the awareness of the mental health. As for example, if you have pain in your knee, for example, you will talk about it to every single one. I will be seeing my GP, X-ray will be done to my knees. You will be talking a lot about your knees, but if you have any mental health issue, it's never been admitted and it's never been discussed with anyone.
And doctor, I think doctor, too, there's some very important messages, and messages that ring true at the moment, i.e. it's okay not to be okay is one that you often see, or, you know, it's important to talk. And both of those are very, very important, right? But we don't want to just be a sticky plaster using phrases. We need to sort of actually make it okay not to be okay mentally, the exact same way as we do physically, and that we do feel it's okay to talk. I hate hearing of people, particularly if they've got to the point where they've taken their lives, and you just wish, I wish you'd have contacted me. I'm not saying I could have stopped it, but just speak to one person once and have that conversation before you go through with it, because there's always, invariably, almost always a way through these things, doctor. So we need to maintain, of course, this simple messaging, but we have to have substance behind that, I think.
Yeah, I noticed in the Gardaí call, when they call us for mental health assessment, I noticed some clever resident, like a friend, notice his changes in his friend's mood or social life. Some family notice, mother call, father call, friends call. And we so proud. We stopped with the Gardaí many suicidal attempt and many issue around the mental health of people who's been noticed by a family. Just it is not easy for some people sometimes to talk about this. But there is an early sign, like we want to say the five warning sign of starting from depression is you notice in your family or in your friend someone feeling fatigue always, and he doesn't sleep or doesn't sleep enough, not eating well. This early sign and being like feeling I start to be isolated from the community. This early sign of depression, we have to be noticed. Some patients, they don't know what happened to them and end up with ending their life in very sad way. We encourage in the community to help us as well. And as we are part of the community, we start as Letterkenny Medics of a service. When we introduce the Letterkenny Medics, it's called Just Talk. This service, just we have many patients to come here and just talk with us, which has helped many people. We have a counselor provider. We have 7-day response. We have partner with the Gardaí. We have partner with Now Doc for All. And that's why we start to connect with more services like you guys. We will have a plan to introduce this every month to talk about it. And that's why we start from ourselves as a part of the community, part of the family. We want to help the situation. I will not stop seeing young people killing themselves for no reason. I will not stop seeing people get depressed and push more pressure on the hospital and on the system. You cannot believe how much the hospital staff working. And I attended one of the nurses in the hospital into my private house in the weekend just to sign a form. It's so sad when you receive a call from the guard urgent you to come. All the team around us working very hard, but still we need the community to be increased awareness. And it's nice, as you said, it's nice to speak about little things. You can go to see your GP, you can come to Letterkenny Medics, you can attend the Gardaí as well, themselves in the station, Letterkenny, Medford. All the stations are very welcome to receive any thought or any complaint.
But I think, Doctor, you're quite right in saying we can't expect an acute hospital to cover all of these needs. And I suppose when we do spot someone not sleeping well or not eating well, to sort of say, you know, what is causing that, right? It's, you know, what's making... But also, I think, to see that in ourselves as well, because I think often we miss the early signs that our mental health is deteriorating. So if we can't necessarily rely on others to see it in us, we perhaps also need to look inward and say, you know, do I need to go and speak to someone? Because I'm just not feeling the way I should be feeling.
100%. I have received in our clinic, for example, many people complain of fatigue, low mood, not sleeping well, not eating well. All this sometimes will be very simple. When you check someone's blood, it will be some folic acid or some ferritin or some hemoglobin low, which we can treat it. It's not always a mental health medication. It's not always a psychiatric business around. Sometimes a little things we can change. But the mental health with all our stress around us is causing, and no one has exemption to have the mental health. It starts from you, from me, from all the family. We are human at the end of the day. We have too much pressure around us, and we have to be realistic around our brain as well needs service.
Okay.
But the early sign is five of them. The early sign is you've been in depressed mood for no reason. You're not interested in activity. You like to stay at home. You have no great sleep. You have fatigue and energy always. And you've been sometimes impatient and aggressive, one episode of aggression for no reason. I think this is early sign of to be addressed by a GP or to be addressed by someone who, even if you speak to a family member or you speak to someone who you trust.
Yeah, and there are symptoms. There are symptoms potentially of a mental health issue. The exact same way as tingling in your fingers could be a symptom of a physical system. And we need to actually really start getting past the word and the rhetorics, and which are very important, but actually getting down to the nitty-gritty and for people to spot in themselves early signs or spot in others and to see that as an early symptom and to get treatment for it. Dr. Mohamed Elbray, thank you so much for your time. He's co-founder of Letterkenny Medics Clinic. And that is it for today on the 9 till noon show. Thank you so much to all of you who listened to the programme and texted in and contributed and what have you. Very much appreciated. We are, of course, going to be back tomorrow morning at 9 with Thursday's show. Already putting that together for you. Right, for me, Greg Hughes and the team, Caroline Orr and Shannon Wilkin, have a great day. Stay safe and stay tuned.